Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, it's been described as the most crucial week in the war so far after the invasion by Russia of Ukraine. Vladimir Zelensky is actually speaking at the moment and he's saying we're in the middle of the most intense and focused negotiations for peace since the very beginning of the war. We're not talking about a pause or a temporary uncertain solution. We're working closely with partners to finally end this Russian war against Ukraine. And he stresses that Ukraine still needs strong political support, the kind of support it has had since the beginning of the war. And he says the root cause of the war, obviously in Russia, there's something inevitable that keeps Russia fighting. And he quotes what they've done in Chechnya, the Balkans, Moldova, Syria, Central Africa, and now Ukraine. The Russians always say they are somehow not guilty. And he wants the focus to be on Russia's misbehavior. Well, I'm joined on the line by Suzanne Lynch, a Brussels bureau chief at Bloomberg. Suzanne, good morning.
Good morning.
Where are we with the talks? I mean, we've had back and forth, a document originally from Trump and then moderated and then back and forth and back and forth. Where are we now?
Yes, well, I think what was very significant was the meeting yesterday evening in Berlin, where the Ukrainian leader joined European figures Friedrich Merz, Italy's Prime Minister Meloni, and European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen, and some more leaders. And they did kind of issue a declaration after that with a, what they're calling a framework agreement for Ukraine. So we do seem to be inching towards some kind of deal. Now, as you mentioned there, originally there was the 28-point plan that the US issued with the backing, or some would say direction, of Russia. That was shot down by the Europeans and Ukraine. There have been a lot of reporting about a 20-point plan, and that was more devised on the European side. We have not seen that yet. But you were at the level now of drafting of some kind. Now, Zelensky said himself that we're nowhere near that yet. But I think another key moment was over the weekend when he suggested that Ukraine would perhaps forfeit its desire, its request to join NATO in exchange for security guarantees, including from the US. So, you know, that suggests that there's movement there on the Ukrainian side in terms of NATO membership, for example.
Yeah, now it's interesting. He's speaking to the Dutch parliament at the moment. That's where he made those recent remarks. And he's trying to encourage the Dutch to support the idea of the forfeiture of Russian assets, which are banked in Brussels at the moment, in order to pay for reparations to rebuild Ukraine. The Belgians are a bit iffy about that whole thing, although on the face of it, it just seems like fair play. I mean, the Ukrainians were not the aggressor. Their country has been destroyed by Russian aggression. The Russians in a civilized world should pay.
Yeah, I mean, this is going to be a huge theme this week. The Russian assets plan, we've really kind of got to end.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
came on this. And EU leaders are meeting here in Brussels on Thursday. They'll be arriving on Wednesday evening for really a make or break summit about this assets plan. Now, they had expected, the European Commission had expected to agree this at the last summit in October. That did not happen because Belgium was opposed. And we're now, what, nearly 2 months later, and there's still no sense or definite sense that this will be agreed this week. Now, the issue for Belgium is that they feel they will be on the hook for this because they are seizing another country's assets, essentially. That's the way they see it. Now, as you pointed out there is a lot of logic, obviously, to this, that Russia is the aggressor. Why isn't, you know, their assets should be used to help reconstruct Ukraine? So what's going to happen now, and what's happening as we speak in Brussels, a lot of negotiations are underway on really the very technical plan about this. You know, that Belgium wants to get guarantees from other European countries that they would step in and help. And this would be something that would probably perhaps have to go to national parliaments. Perhaps, I'm not sure about Ireland, but even in Germany it would, in the Bundestag. So it's a very audacious kind of technical move. So, you know, the Europeans need to get their ducks in a row and to make sure it's legally sound. So that's where we're at now. And I think the role of Germany here is very important. Germany was actually against this plan for a long time. So was the European Central Bank, because it felt it would be damaging to the euro, that it could set some kind of precedent, that investors wouldn't like this. But under Friedrich Merz, who came in as German Chancellor this year, the Germans are now very much behind this. They're trying to get Belgium over the line. Hungary is not happy either. Now, technically, they can move forward with this plan without Belgium. But people feel very strong here that that would be a very negative thing for the EU. That, you know, to move forward with something this serious without having the main country involved supporting it, the optics of that are very bad. But there is a sense, though, that this is very serious because Ukraine, we think about the military help, but they need a lot of funds, basically, at the beginning of next year. They're facing a funding gap. The IMF has pointed this out. They need this money. So that's why there's a sense that time is of the essence on this plan.
Now, it's extraordinary that Russia pays no heed at all to any of the norms of international world order. For example, you know, that they commit war crimes with impunity, they invade neighbouring territory with impunity, and yet Europe wants to follow the rules to the letter. You know, it doesn't seem like this is the right way to go when you're dealing with effectively a dictator in Russia. You don't deal with them in that way. But going back to the money, Trump's plan envisaged Europe throwing in $100 billion, and $100 billion of Russia's assets, which are held in Belgium, also be thrown into the pot. But then America would take $100 billion itself. I mean, is that dead in the water? That was such a lunatic, greedy kind of a plan that it should not have even ever ended up on in print on a document.
Yes, exactly. This caused huge alarm. It was part of the 28-point plan about how to end the war with Ukraine, and huge alarm here. And shortly after that document was circulated, the German Chancellor had a call with Trump that day. He was one of the first leaders to speak to him. So that is obviously seen as a no-no for the Europeans. They're not going to agree to implement this plan if America then is going to try and get some of that money. Now, there's a broader issue here, of course, that yes, as you explained there, Russia is obviously not any kind of a trustworthy partner in this, but there is fear that either, you know, how far can the US be trusted, really,
indeed,
in this?
A security guarantee from Donald Trump is meaningless.
Yeah, so that's a real worry here. And this is the feeling and the realization now that the Europeans have, that they kind of have to look after themselves because, you know, they can't count on the US for support. So what they're trying to do at the moment, from what we're hearing, is get some commitment from the US on security guarantees. Would this be air defense? I mean, Donald Trump has said he does not want to put boots on the ground. That's not going to happen. And in fact, a lot of the European countries don't want to do that either. But the fact that the American equipment, the American defense help, most of which, by the way, they're selling to the Europeans and then give them to Ukraine, it's not like it's free, that this is just a crucial part of Ukraine's ability to defend itself. Because the calculation in Europe really is that if Ukraine isn't able to defend itself and Russia can rearm and move further into Ukraine, well, then the next stop is you know, NATO countries. So that's why it's in the Europeans' interest to make sure there are sufficient security guarantees for Ukraine in any peace deal that is agreed.
Now, obviously, Ukraine is doing its best on the battlefield, but yesterday they reported a major military success in sinking a Russian submarine valued at something around $300 million at a naval base using underwater drones. And they have targeted energy facilities before, and oil platforms and that, and gas platforms. They've tried to target them to damage the Russian war effort by depriving them of resources. It's small, maybe, but perhaps significant.
Yeah, I mean, it is significant. Ukraine have been making these inroads, if you like, in terms of hitting these kind of strategic infrastructure, including in Russia. And I mean, this is the real conundrum for Zelensky. You know, as part of this peace deal, he's been asked essentially to surrender territory they already control. I mean, that's what we're hearing. We'll see the shape of this. There's no decision yet on territorial concessions. And you know, it has turned into a frozen conflict in some ways. I mean, very little land has been won by either side over the last while. And even though Ukraine are making these hits on Russia, Russia has also got more sophisticated in terms of taking out energy sources within Ukraine. And there are concerns that, like a city like Kyiv, you know, that they could, two or three strikes can basically bring that to its knees. Now we're getting into winter. There's energy supply issues as well. So it's that calculation about how powerful each side is now. The Russians, of course, there's a huge propaganda effort underway. And, you know, in many ways, whatever, if Russia agrees to anything, they will be able to present that in the way they, you know, see fit to their population. And they will cast that as a victory. But of course, what does seem to be the case is that Russia is benefiting in a way from this war economy, that is pumping up the Russian economy for the last year or so. And that it, paradoxically, if this war was to end, well, then in the immediate term, there would be a kind of release valve of such, and that could end up trickling down into the economy in a negative way. So, you know, the calculations now for Putin are going to be extremely interesting about what's in it for him to stop this war. And of course, whether we like it or not, that is now really the next stage, what the Russians are going to say about any nascent peace plan that might be agreed.
Suzanne Lynch, Brussels Bureau Chief at Bloomberg, thank you very much for joining.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.